Thanks for joining us on Gulf Coast Life. I'm your host, Carrie Barber. Today, we hear from the Florida Health Professionals for Scientific Integrity. It's a group of Floridians who are concerned about the direction government leadership is going in terms of public health. We're joined by Jim Nathan, former CEO of Lee Health, as well as retired radiologist Gene Goldberg and retired internist and emergency medicine doctor Dale Anderson. They hope to educate and take action against the end of vaccine mandates in school and the return of such diseases as measles, polio, and more. Let's start by, can we go around the virtual table and just introduce ourselves? Let's start with Jim Nathan. I think a lot of our listeners probably know you. Can you just tell us your name and title, so to speak?
Well, Jim Nathan, after about 40 years with Lee Health, I retired, teach at Florida Gulf Coast University, and also actively involved with Grandparents for Vaccines and Floridians for Democracy.
Great. And Dr. Anderson?
Yes, I'm Dale Anderson. I'm a retired internist and emergency physician. I practiced for the first half of my career and then transitioned into managing medical group practices. And I live in downtown Sarasota.
Okay. And Dr. Gene Goldberg?
Yes, I'm happy to be here today. Thank you. I'm a retired radiologist and a science writer. I'm very active with the Center for Inquiry. And also, I've joined the new group, the Florida Health Professionals for Scientific Integrity. And I'm working with the Grandparents for Vaccines, a newly formed group to address vaccine hesitancy.
Great. Thank you. That's very helpful. So let's start there. Dr. Anderson, what is the Florida Health Professionals for Scientific Integrity? What does that group stand for? And when did it get going?
So we've started this a little over a year ago, and initially it was intended to focus on getting the medical professionals to begin speaking out in defense of science and evidence-based medicine. And we've coalesced more, I think, since September because of the recent bills to eliminate vaccine requirements for school entry. And that's been an incentive for us to become even more active. We started with a group of mostly retired healthcare professionals, hospital executives, we have pharmacists, and we're spread across the state with members from Jacksonville down to Naples.
Dr. Goldberg, you kind of mentioned the vaccine mandates being revoked. What sort of backlash have you seen or observed since that law passed that vaccines are no longer required of school children?
We had a very dramatic change in vaccine policy. On December 30th, we had a recommendation for elimination of six vaccines. Six of the vaccines have been rated only for high-risk children, the RSV, the hepatitis A, hepatitis B, and the bacterial meningitis vaccines. Those now have been put into a category where parents are supposed to talk to the healthcare providers and make sure they know about all the risks. It's called shared decision making, and it's causing a lot of confusion among parents. Now, here in Florida, we've had a very aggressive campaign to eliminate vaccine mandates, which have been required for decades for students to enter school here. The Florida Department of Health actually would like to eliminate the hepatitis B. I won't mention all the vaccines, but chickenpox, flu, pneumonia, and they could do this through the Florida Department of Health. It hasn't been done yet, but apparently the legislation from the Florida Senate and House would be required to eliminate the MMR vaccine, which parents are familiar with.
Right. Measles, mumps, and rubella. And
yes.
And Jim Nathan, you wrote an editorial about living through these diseases like measles and whooping cough. I've heard it said a lot that we're a victim of our own success, that people don't see these diseases today, so they think the vaccines are not necessary. Can you tell us a little bit about the danger of what Dr. Goldberg was just talking about, the danger of getting rid of these mandated vaccines?
Well, all three of us are children of the era when, before the vaccines, and our lives were impacted in different ways, but all of our families were impacted with just the minimum, the fear. It was perceived that I had polio initially as an infant. I was in steel braces around my ankles and up just below my knee for the first few months of my life as they were trying to figure out what was going on. But this fear was clearly there because it was prevalent, and the measles was so easily transferable, and the families quarantining their children, keeping them away from activities like today people complain about the COVID era. Well, there was a reason for the quarantine as we were trying to understand how to manage it. But what's happened today is that we have now decades of success at basically eliminating in this country so many of these highly communicable diseases. And we don't need them to return, but we're already seeing some of the early reduction in people getting vaccinated because of this anti-vax perspective. And it is starting to take its toll. And we have pockets in Florida, South Carolina, Texas. Many states now are beginning to see pockets of rapid spread, and measles definitely coming back. But it's not just measles, it's other diseases. And there's, I just want to share quickly a brief, very brief parable, but a story about a large number of people are on an ocean liner crossing the ocean. And this man is down in the hull with a hammer and nail poking a hole, and the water is starting to come in, and people start screaming at him and saying, "Stop it, stop it. The water's going to come in and we're all going to drown." And he said, "Get away from me. This is my part of the hull." And when people say that we should have the freedom of choice, we should have freedom of choice, but we shouldn't have freedom to suddenly tell doctors that if you don't want to wear gloves and you don't want to wear a mask in surgery, that's okay, because you should have the freedom to do that. There's things that we know from history that make sense, and we simply should not allow that to return. And that's what this is all about right now, this anti-science, anti-medicine, anti-research, and anti-success stories suddenly being thrown out the window on this, quote, "everybody should have the freedom to do what they want," like knock a hole in the bottom of the ship.
I absolutely agree with that. And we have such a success story of vaccination over the past 30 years. In fact, Jim just alluded to the measles outbreaks, among other contagious diseases. We've saved 1.1 million lives, mostly children, over the past 30 years as a result of vaccination. And as Jim Nathan did mention, the measles outbreak in South Carolina has been reportedly the worst in 30 years. And it's interesting, without quoting a lot of statistics, still, I have to mention that 96% of the cases of measles in South Carolina were among unvaccinated children. So it's we're just starting to see, I'm afraid, with this marine metaphor, we're seeing the tip of the iceberg here. So it's just a very, very concerning situation for all of us.
And there's something called herd immunity, which is like, if most people have the vaccines, then a few here and there can go without because there's not enough for the bugs to grab onto. But Jim Nathan, do you happen to know what the percentage for vaccinations is in Florida these days? I think herd immunity is 95%, right?
Herd immunity is usually, you've got two clinicians here, so I don't want to fight you down. But herd immunity is usually considered around 95%. And we've been at that for quite some time, but we're now down into the 80s. And that should be a serious concern for us for the long haul. And we should also ask our clinicians to share their perspectives about this isn't just about children, even though we're talking about eliminating childhood vaccine mandates. It's also immunocompromised people, it's seniors, and we got a heck of a lot of seniors like us in the community that are susceptible to communicable diseases. So we shouldn't just think that this is a parent's choice, it is a community's choice. we shouldn't get rid of the police force.
And Dr. Anderson, tell me what your groups have been doing to educate people or perhaps to try to reverse this new law.
Yes, I think that it's interesting as we started to pull this together, we learned about another group of physicians who self-organized back in September. I think it was in September 3rd that Governor DeSantis and Dr. Latipo, Surgeon General, announced their plans to kind of eliminate these requirements. And shortly thereafter, there were 1,000 practicing physicians here in Florida who signed a letter to the administration urging them not to pursue this. And so not only grandparents for vaccines and our group, but there are other groups within the state that are beginning to step forward and make their concerns to the public. We've put together a presentation on vaccines for educational purposes and have been presenting those along the west coast of Florida, but we need more clinicians to step up and speak. There's been some reluctance on the medical associations and individual physicians to stand up and take a stance on this because of some fear of retribution from their leadership or from their patients. But as retired physicians, we feel like we can speak out and try and tell the truth here.
Do you want to add to that, Dr. Wolfe?
Yes, and the American Academy of Pediatrics has been very active in publicly opposing the current CDC's committee's revised recommendation policy, and 17 states have come out in opposition as well. And late last week, the American Academy of Pediatrics and over 200 health groups sent Congress a letter urging an oversight and an investigation into how these changes were made. Now, previously, the data was evaluated carefully by our previous center for our CDC. It was discussed, and there was some community public input as well. The decisions, the revisions were made very carefully. And unfortunately, these recent federal revisions of the vaccination schedule have not been done according to the usual protocol. And the horrific part of it, the very disturbing part of it, is that it's created a lot of confusion among parents who always want the best for their children.
Let's talk about that. What would you like to say to parents who you think are getting confused by all these mixed messages?
Well, you always ask them to consult their physician and hopefully and tell them that the American Academy of Pediatrics really has the scientifically validated information. They have the best information for community protection, which is what we're all aiming for. I think one little metaphor that I have learned is that might be meaningful to parents is you upload a software update for your cell phones every few months because you need to become aware of what's going on currently and protect yourself. And so it's like a software update for a phone. So why can't we regard immunizations, vaccinations along the same lines? It's a protective device.
I like that. If you're just tuning in, we are talking with Dr. Gene Goldberg, who's a retired radiologist, Dr. Dale Anderson, who's a retired internist, and Jim Nathan, the retired CEO of Lee Health here in Fort Myers. And we're talking about a group they're all active with called the Florida Health Professionals for Scientific Integrity. Dr. Anderson, I wonder if we could go back to what would your advice be to healthcare providers? I mean, I, as a reporter, I am also seeing that where I get answers from clinicians who I can tell they're afraid to give the scientific answer and they are giving kind of the governor's answer. What would you say to them in a way that they can support the scientific proof that we have about vaccines and what is best for the community?
Yes, it's interesting. I think that the risk is smaller than they think for them to speak out. For example, the Kaiser Family Foundation in August, just this last year, did a survey of parents regarding their support for vaccine requirements for school entry. And they found that 81% of the total parents supported maintaining vaccine requirements. So there's a high percentage of people that understand the importance of these vaccination programs and support it. Even in Florida, 82% of parents supported maintaining these requirements. And they even broke it down according to politics. 91% of Democrats and 75% of Republicans supported maintaining these. So there's a smaller percentage of parents that are concerned about this need education and support from their providers. And speaking out as a group is the most important way to influence a policy. So we really are trying to encourage all physicians that are taking care of children and adults who are at risk as well to take a stance publicly. They just aren't used to getting into the fray like this, and it feels different for them.
If you all can provide me with something, I can put a link in our show notes so that if people want to contact the group, the Florida Health Professionals for Scientific Integrity, perhaps we can do that to make it easier for people to join in. And we also mentioned the Grandparents for Vaccines. And Dr. Goldberg, do you want to talk about their mission? Is it basically a similar mission?
I think the Grandparents for Vaccines is going to be a wonderful program to really educate people about the importance of vaccination. And we as healthcare professionals have a habit of quoting a lot of statistics, and we kind of lose people in the process. So Dr. Arthur Lavin, a pediatrician in Cleveland, has started sort of like a grassroots organization called Grandparents for Vaccines. And he is launching a nationwide program recruiting grandparents and a few great aunts and great uncles, too, who care about children, the next generation, care about their safety. And he is asking them to share their stories, a similar story to what Jim just shared with us about his experience with polio. These are powerful stories, and they're not meant to scare people. When people hear about iron lungs, though, and hear about people who have been paralyzed, I know there was, my husband actually knew a surgical intern with whom he was friends, and this intern was very promising, and he was going to embark on a career as a surgeon, and he developed polio in the pre-Salk era, and he obviously couldn't stand anymore. He could not do surgery. So there are just numerous stories like that that our grandparents in this country can supply. And they're, as I say, those stories are not meant to scare people, but they're meant to inform perhaps parents who are not of the age to have had those experiences. Parents always care about doing the best for their children. And so these stories can say, hey, you know, why not get a software update for your iPhone? Why not vaccinate your grandchildren?
I'm curious if any of you three have personally had a problem getting any vaccines or getting a COVID shot. Or, I mean, there was a time a few months ago when it seemed hard to get those around here in Southwest Florida. Have any of you had problems getting a vaccine that you wanted lately?
Not me personally.
There was a period, and you had to get special doctor's notice in order to qualify for it. But it was a short-lived period. And actually, I got my COVID shot the day before it opened back up again, my most recent COVID shot. I haven't missed any of the markers for it. I believe in these vaccines that have been tested and proven, and even COVID now has been out long enough to know that it's been successful. But that's part of this whole issue of playing politics with science and research. And science and research can make mistakes, and you learn from those mistakes. But there's a process that has occurred now that's gone on for centuries, where we have used data, have learned from the data, have grown from the data, and made adjustments. And now we have this fear of data being hidden from us because people don't want us to know what's actually happening. And this whole vaccine issue is another example. I'd like to just add one more thing to Gene's comments about the program with Dr. Lavin and Grandparents for Vaccines. We have on our website, and we can provide the link for you, a program that we did just before the official grand opening of Grandparents for Vaccines. And we interviewed 8 individuals to share their stories. And just as Jane said, it's really powerful to hear. It's not medical, it's not technical, it's just real stories of people that understand the implications in the pre-vaccine era and how the euphoria that occurred, just as there was a euphoria with the COVID vaccine, there was a massive euphoria back in the days when these vaccines were first discovered and people were rapidly excited about getting the vaccines. And we just don't want to have to go through that and relive it because it's been proven to be successful.
I'm afraid we are almost running out of time, so I want to just kind of go around and see if each of you want to add something before we have to go off the air. Dr. Goldberg, do you have anything you'd like to add?
I think I would just like to just extend my comments on the Grandparents for Vaccines. I think that the audience could really help. People want to know, what can I do personally? And I think one thing that you might do is, if you don't personally have a story of the pre-Salk era, but maybe you have a grandparent or a parent or an uncle or an aunt, please encourage anybody that you know in that demographic to submit their stories to the online website of grandparentsforvaccines.com. That would be something you could do.
Thank you. And how about you, Dr. Anderson? Anything to add?
Well, it's interesting. You know, we named ourselves Florida Health Professionals for Scientific Integrity, and we discovered that Representative Paul Tonko from New York, for the past, well, beginning in 2021, and then just recently again, has introduced a bill called the Scientific Integrity Act at the federal level in Congress that would create policies that prohibit suppression or manipulation of research, safeguard scientists' ability to safely communicate findings, and establish clear processes for reporting and resolving scientific integrity violations. So there is this push nationally to try and take politics out of scientific reporting, and we're hoping that we can kind of move the country in that direction with our efforts.
Yes, thank you. And Jim Nathan, how about you? I'll give you the last word. Anything to add?
Two quick things. One, fear is a large part of this anti-science, anti-medicine, a destruction of knowledge and keeping people from being aware, growing and adjusting and becoming better at it. And if you don't want to believe fortunately, the American Pediatric Association and some other groups have been willing to speak up. But if you don't trust their stuff, you can go to the Vaccine Integrity Project out of Minnesota. And they have really garnered a lot of the expertise that has been shoved out of organizations like the CDC and other places, because they do have the knowledge. And so they've been able to pull them together and try to keep it going. And I just encourage people, don't give up. Don't just assume that, well, vaccines, that's my choice. Realize that you can also be affecting your friends, your neighbors, your other family members, and your children or your grandchildren by this anti-vaccine effort.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, I want to thank you all so much for your time today, Dr. Goldberg, Dr. Anderson, and Jim Nathan. Thank you so much for your work on this and for coming to talk to us today. We really appreciate it.
We're honored.
I've been talking with former Lee Health CEO Jim Nathan and Drs. Jean Goldberg and Dale Anderson about the group Florida Health Professionals for Scientific Integrity. Thank you all for joining us on Gulf Coast Life. We'll have links to the items we talked about at WGCU.org. Thank you for listening to Gulf Coast Life. I'm your host, Carrie Barber. We had production help today from Mike Canary and Emma Rodriguez. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.